Time makes more converts than reason. Parker Lewis.
This is Citadelium, episode 25, and I'm your host, Yuri DeGaia. So as I mentioned, I'm trying a new format here. I'm experimenting with Telegram's new feature called voice chat. Actually, the feature is not quite new. It was released a few weeks ago, maybe even a couple of months ago, but Telegram has improved upon this feature, and what they have done is actually pretty much recreate the way that radio works. So you can actually broadcast the voice chat to hundreds of thousands of people simultaneously, maybe even millions of people. I don't think there's a limit on it. At the same time, you can also create conversations there, so people can raise their hands and they can ask questions. So this makes the whole thing quite interactive. If you remember the old times, you would have a radio show with a host, and then people would have to call in to ask some questions, right? Or as people do right now, they can send in some text messages or WhatsApp messages and Telegram messages, and then just ask questions, and the host will read the message and answer any questions that they have. This actually improves upon the process, and let's see how this goes. I don't know if it will take off or not, but I haven't seen anybody else do this. I just want to experiment it. Worst case scenario, if this doesn't go anywhere, it still has the recording feature which I'm using right now, and this will be just recorded as an actual episode, just like all the other episodes of Citadelium. So the reason why I want to try this is twofold. The first is that I want to try a live episode, which means that I'm actually live and I can take questions from the audience live, and we can create some kind of a discussion with anybody who joins as a listener or as a speaker. Secondly, I think it's pretty cool that this thing is being developed anyway, because I would like to experiment. I like to experiment with different technologies, and I think Telegram is doing a great job with the messenger. It's really not just a messenger, it's more of a social network built in the messenger, and I would like to support them, because if you don't know anything about Telegram's owner and operator, Pavel Durov, he's Russian, like myself. He's the founder of Russia's largest social network that does not really belong to him anymore. He actually sold his equity in it after some pressure from the Russian government years ago. He decided to rather sell his equity in the social network rather than compromise the integrity of his beliefs and his user data. And I think the whole thing was actually about user data that the government requested. So he sold off his equity in VK.com, which is the international name for the social network. And he left off. He doesn't live in Russia anymore. He lives internationally. And where he is now, he started Telegram just a few years ago. So as you can see, Telegram is pretty huge right now. As far as I know, there's whole communities, even the same Russian government and other governments, they use Telegram right now. Politicians use Telegram as a, they say, a more robust way of communicating with their target audiences, because this one is much less censorable than other social networks like Twitter and Facebook, of course. So I like the way it's going. There have been a few things that I don't like in the way that Telegram was developed. As far as I remember, Pavel tried to jump on the ICO bandwagon and release his token, which failed miserably because of the regulation. So even though he tries to create this uncensorable social network slash messenger, he still wasn't able to release the Gram token, as far as I remember, it's called. And it's, yeah, my personal opinion is that, you know, he wasn't ill-intentioned. I don't think he really wanted to actually scam people and get, you know, get their money. I think he just misunderstood the whole thing, how it works. And, you know, just the way we Bitcoiners understand why Bitcoin actually exists in the first place. He probably thought, well, that's the just a new way to raise money. And, you know, I'm going to try and do that. Yeah. Didn't happen anyway. So I think he at some point becomes a Bitcoin maximalist and maybe, you know, just goes ahead and integrates Bitcoin through Lightning into Telegram, which will make Telegram probably the best messenger on the market right now. And of course, there are some Bitcoin teams that are developing alternative messengers based purely on Bitcoin and on Bitcoin's Lightning network. But that will take some time to take off, of course. Telegram has the network effect required for this thing to, you know, literally blow up. If he does integrate Lightning network inside the messenger, that will be a killer. That will be a killer use case for it, I think. So I hope they listen to such comments by Bitcoiners. They listen to feedback. You know, I've interacted with the Telegram group or Telegram support on Twitter before, and they do seem to be listening to their users. And they do have an army of developers right now that work on Telegram pretty much all the time. So we'll probably see some good developments from the messenger. If not, I think there will be good alternatives in the future. Sphinx chat, which is a Lightning network based chat, is getting really popular among Bitcoiners right now. It's, you know, it's very early, of course, but it is the underlying technology that's really important there. It's too early to talk about its UX and UI usability and things like that. Of course, it will take a couple of years, but so far it's been really, really cool to see how Lightning can be used for encrypted peer-to-peer messaging and tipping services, as well as podcasting. They call it podcasting 2.0. So we'll see how that goes. Anyway, the topic of today's conversation was about Bitcoin itself. I think it's really important to talk about Bitcoin right now because obviously number go up, the price is increasing, and there are more and more new people and also old people who didn't get into Bitcoin before but are now starting to reach out to myself, to my friends, to anybody who has ever mentioned the word Bitcoin in their life. And of course, these people either ignored it completely over the years, or they heard about it, but they just didn't pay much attention to Bitcoin because, you know, people have other things to care about, and they honestly don't really think about things like that. It is only when everybody around them, not everybody, but those few who have been talking about Bitcoin are getting reach, at least in their mind, because they see the price goes up all the time, and right now it's about $57,000 per Bitcoin. So obviously that makes them go, huh, well, I should really reach out to those people who talked about Bitcoin. And they start doing that, and I think it's normal. And you know, my personal approach right now with Bitcoin is I just never talk about it with anybody, really. I don't try to educate anymore. In terms of this kind of militant education, you know, the mass adoption type of thing, I don't want to impose anything on people anymore. I think people who are ready, they will come forward and, you know, ask questions about it, and I'll be happy to help. The others, as we say, they will not be using Bitcoin because they want to do so. They will be using Bitcoin because they need to do so. economic reality will just force them to do so. And that's one of the reasons why us Bitcoiners actually are so adamant about Bitcoin, because we understand a little, it's a deeper nature, I guess, and the real reasons why it exists. Whereas many people who come to Bitcoin right now, they just go, they just come purely out of speculative reasons. They just want to make some money, right? So that's why I wanted to talk about the seven things to know before getting into Bitcoin. And let's start with the first thing. The first thing is that you don't really need to know every detail about Bitcoin. You don't need to know everything about it and how it works. Rather, I think you need to learn why Bitcoin exists in the first place, right? Why do we need it? When I started with Bitcoin years ago, I just asked myself a question. Well, you know, okay, this is an interesting technology, and you know, but I already have my Canadian dollars in my pocket, so why do I really need this Bitcoin thing, right? And that led me into this rabbit hole of information, almost unlimited information, that forced me to read some literature that I had never read before. I had no interest in such literature, and that was primarily economics and financial literature and videos and whatnot, all kinds of content. So if you want to really understand why we Bitcoin, I think you just need to understand why it exists. And there are a lot of resources out there right now. It's been more than 11 years, so of course there are probably thousands of articles out there. There are dozens of books on Bitcoin. If I had to recommend you some kind of a starting kit, I guess, for getting yourself into Bitcoin, into the why of Bitcoin, I would give you a combination of a Bitcoin book and two books on economics and geopolitics and how things are, in which direction things are going. So the first book would be The Bitcoin Standard by Saifedean Ammous. Pretty much the Bitcoin Bible. Everybody reads it. Everybody recommends it because it's so good. It's the first 70% or 80% of the book is probably an introduction to economics and monetary theory, and just a short history of money. If you go to Russia, for example, in Russian, the book is literally translated, the title of the book is literally translated as a short history of money, because, you know, it was a bit difficult to translate the Bitcoin Standard into Russian, although I would have still tried to do that. I would have still tried to translate it the way that the word Bitcoin exists in the title, but whatever, whoever translated that, at least they did the job, and now you can enjoy it in Russian. At the same time, you can enjoy the book right now in many different languages. It is really a global book right now. As far as I understand right now, the sales are going through the roof. Yes, Saifedean did a really great job. I highly recommend this book as your starting point. An economics book, if I had to recommend, there's a lot of them as well, but for simplicity's sake, I think you should start with something short and sweet, and something that explains it, the basic economic concepts really well, and that is Economics in One Lesson. That is a really great book that I recommend to you that will get you started with economics. I don't think you really have to go super deep and, you know, read Ludwig von Mises' Human Action, which is a huge treatise on economics. Like I said, you don't have to go into every detail of how things work, but you have to really grasp the basics, I think. And the third book that I would highly recommend, that is more of a mixture of the other two and kind of a prophetic book as well, that kind of predicted Bitcoin over 20 years ago, over 20 years ago, that book is called The Sovereign Individual. And that book is really something that may change your life as well. You will see how the world is changing, where it's going, and how you can survive in this new world, and how Bitcoin can actually help you. Bitcoin didn't exist when this book was written, but they did predict some kind of a virtual currency that would become de facto new gold standard, so to speak. So go ahead and read these books. If you wanted some practical recommendation of where to start with Bitcoin, these are my recommendations. So of course, like I said, there's a bunch more, and you will find them if you Google, but these are three are really great to start off. So the point number two is that Bitcoin is not a get-rich-quick scheme. Rather, it's a save money slowly and get rich slow scheme. That's what I would call Bitcoin. Because a lot of people right now, like I mentioned, they come to Bitcoin because they see the number going up and they really, really want to make a buck. They want to get into, you know, into the bandwagon just to make money. That's because they don't understand the why Bitcoin exists in the first place. And in my first point, this is why I introduced the three books that I recommend, so you can understand the why. Now that you're really interested in Bitcoin, you can actually start stacking some sats, as Bitcoiners say. But again, don't think about it as a get-rich-quick scheme. If you follow some Bitcoiners on Twitter or other social media, you will see that a lot of them say that Bitcoin is more of a savings technology. And a lot of people don't like it because they can see that the price of Bitcoin goes up and down. So they ask themselves, well, how can Bitcoin be a savings technology if the dollar value can go, you know, it is 57,000 right now, it can go to 47,000 tomorrow and I actually lose money? Well, the thing is that you don't really lose money. What you lose in case of short-term fluctuations is just the fiat value of your Bitcoin holdings. But you have to remember that in terms of Bitcoin, your holdings don't change. You still have the same amount of Bitcoin. If you have half a Bitcoin and the price will change tomorrow, you still have half a Bitcoin. So if you think short-term, of course, it's very easy to lose your mind when you see that the price goes when the price goes up and down. And it is the nature of the Bitcoin market is that it's still very small. It's literally a drop in the ocean compared to the traditional markets out there that are huge multi-trillion dollar markets in terms of dollars. And these fluctuate much less, but even they do fluctuate. So when you see Bitcoin fluctuate, it's really a roller coaster. So the first thing you need to do is to really think long term. You have to think long term because Bitcoin is a technology that is designed to pretty much be pumping forever, but only if you think long term, right? So if you see the all-time price chart of Bitcoin against the United States dollar, for example, obviously you can see that it went from zero to $57,000 trades today. So that's a huge, huge gain, right? Probably the most difficult part was to go from zero to $1. And then from $1 to 100 was very difficult too. But then, you know, it went to 1,000 to 10,000 and now Bitcoiners who have been in Bitcoin for so many years, we're not surprised because now we are used to these things and we understand where it's going. What we understand is that fiat currencies have no future because there have been many fiat currencies in the world already in the past couple of 100 years, and not a single one of them has survived long enough. They all crumble. Eventually, they all crumble because they don't have what it takes to be hard money. They don't have what it takes to be sound money. They can literally be printed out of thin air, which can be seen right now from the recent examples from the European Central Bank and the United States Central Bank Federal Reserve, which has been printing literally trillions of dollars out of nothing. This cannot be done with Bitcoin because Bitcoin has a supply cap of 21 million Bitcoins that can ever be mined. They are already there, they already exist, but they need to be unlocked by miners, right, over time. So if you forget about the short-term fluctuations and just, you know, my normal suggestion is that, okay, even if you don't believe that Bitcoin will pump forever, just get some Bitcoin and forget about it for 10 years. Can you give it 10 years? I think a lot of people can give it 10 years. In reality, you will likely need less time to actually believe in it much more. You'll probably need 4 years because Bitcoin has these four-year cycles during which it increases exponentially. And probably in 4 years, you'll just stick around. I've known some people who went into Bitcoin just for the money, and now they stay there for the revolution, pretty much. So that's how it works. I think if you stick around for enough time and you don't sell it, you will actually stay in Bitcoin, and you will be looking for ways not to sell it, to avoid selling Bitcoin. You'll be looking for all kinds of ways to avoid selling it and to even stack more. So that's what it does to you. And I think it's really important to understand that. Now, the third point out of seven that I wanted to talk about was about trading. And I highly, highly recommend to skip this activity. Do not trade, just accumulate. This is very important because a lot of people who get into Bitcoin, they think, well, I want to not just to buy some Bitcoin, I want to trade it so I can increase my position by trading. But reality is 99% chance you will lose all your money or most of your money trading. You shouldn't trade because the Bitcoin is a small market, as I already mentioned. And you, what you're going to do is you're actually going to trade against whales who have a lot of money, a lot of Bitcoin, and bots, which are essentially algorithmic traders. They are programs that trade against the market. They do all kinds of sophisticated trades on the market. Because the market is so small, it can be manipulated much more easily, right? If you know anything about trading, you go to some online Bitcoin exchange, you will see what's called an order book with, and you can see its depth. The depth of an order book is basically how much there is Bitcoin on the buy side and how much on the sell side. And you will see that just with a few million dollars, you can actually crash the price of Bitcoin if you dump some, or you can raise the price of Bitcoin if you buy a lot on a particular exchange. So that's why you shouldn't really trade, because you can't really predict when the next whale just comes and dumps on you, and you will, you know, you will lose your Bitcoin disregarding your so-called sophisticated trading strategies. So 99% you'll lose money, and if there's someone who tells you otherwise and wants to teach you how to trade and profitably, and you know, shows their Lambos that they earn by trading Bitcoin, most likely it's just a scam. Don't listen to those guys or girls for that matter. Just avoid trading altogether and accumulate over long term. If you accumulate Bitcoin over long term, just by buying it and holding it, that's it. So number four out of seven is don't get into Bitcoin in quotations in terms of business. What do I mean here? Well, first of all, there's a lot of people who ask this question, how do I get into Bitcoin? You know, Bitcoin's going up, I want to do something with it. And it's kind of a funny question, because you really can't do anything with Bitcoin but accumulate it. Because if you really want to do something with it, and by doing something with it, most people mean either trading, which I just said you should not do, or by starting a Bitcoin business. But you can't really start a Bitcoin business unless you learn about it, unless you learn about Bitcoin as much as possible. You have to know how it works. You have to know everything that's happening in the Bitcoin industry. You need to know what people need. You need to know, you need to feel a certain need in Bitcoin, right? It's really, you know, a Bitcoin business is, a regular business is already a difficult thing to start, but a Bitcoin business is even more difficult because you have to learn the underlying technology. You have to know
to have this underlying knowledge of how Bitcoin operates under the hood, maybe. And I run a Bitcoin business, and I don't know 100% of how it operates under the hood, but I've been reading and interacting with Bitcoin people day in and day out, every single day for years and years and years. So obviously, I have certain knowledge that is a lot more sophisticated than someone who just came in and said, well, I just want to get into Bitcoin. Can you tell me what to do? Yeah, I can tell you what to do. And all you have to do is just buy Bitcoin. I think the best way for you to get into Bitcoin is to keep your fiat job, just to keep your regular job that you have right now, and allocate a portion of your savings or earnings towards Bitcoin. That's all. That's the easiest way to get into Bitcoin right now. That's what most people do, and that's what I recommend, and most Bitcoiners would recommend you anyway. Don't leave your job just because you discovered Bitcoin. That would be silly. You have to really be confident enough to leave your job if you really want to start some kind of a Bitcoin business. You need to be in Bitcoin for quite a while. That kind of happened to me as well. So that's my advice. Don't get into Bitcoin. Don't get into Bitcoin business. Simply stack some sats. Point number five, have a long time horizon. Invest for the long term. I already mentioned it here, but I want to repeat it a little bit in a different way. Bitcoin is very volatile, right? So you have to really buy and forget it. You will sleep much better if you just don't look at the price. And I know it's really difficult not to look at the price. I have to do it because of my work, but a lot of people just do it because they are addicted to it. I think it's really detrimental to some people's mental state, because it's really that much of a roller coaster sometimes. So the best way to do it is to stack some sats using either, you know, every time you get a salary or wages, whatever you get, you just send a little bit to your favorite broker and buy some Bitcoin, or you set up what's called dollar cost averaging, which is a special service, automated service that allows you to buy Bitcoin at a certain time, let's say once a month, well, for a certain amount. So that, I think, is really better than just caring about the short-term price fluctuations of Bitcoin, and even thinking about how you can capitalize on those fluctuations. Like I said before, you will not capitalize on them. You will rather lose all your capital. Now, my other point, which is number six here, is you really shouldn't convince others about Bitcoin. Bitcoin is something that you have to be ready for. And it's, you know, at first, when I started in Bitcoin, of course, I had this younger, less experienced revolutionary spirit in me, and I wanted to, you know, promote Bitcoin anywhere I went, sign up merchants, and just, you know, fight for mass adoption, things like that. But over time, I understood that a lot of people don't even think about it. They have so many things going on in their lives, and monetary economics is the least of their worries. And unfortunately, some people don't even learn from their mistakes and from history. Some people go through, in some countries, they go through defaults, or maybe even multiple defaults, and they still don't understand why that happens, right? Because another banker or another president comes in power and says he'll fix everything. He does for some time, and then the same thing happens, and they just... the regular people are none the wiser. So you really have to be ready to get into Bitcoin, I guess. And when people are ready, they will come to you. So you don't have to convince anybody. You don't have to have these family dinners during which you seem like a crazy person who just says all kinds of anti-government stuff and how central banks are bad. We Bitcoiners know about that. We don't need to convince anybody, because we just understand, and we understand why Bitcoin exists in the first place. And that is not to really fight banks, but to fight central banks. And it does fight central banks not by actually fighting it. It just peacefully exists out there in the wild, and due to its incentive structure, attracts thousands and thousands and then millions of people. It's just the way it's designed. By design, it does that. It does not. Bitcoin itself does not have a marketing department, doesn't have a CEO. It just works and it attracts people. Slowly but surely, people wake up to this fact and they join all by themselves. They don't really need to be convinced. Like I said before, the vast majority of people will need Bitcoin due to economic reality. And the economic reality will be such that fiat currencies will collapse. If the Great Reset happens, then governments will introduce, rather central banks that pretty much run those governments. They will introduce a central bank digital currency, CBDCs, that will be a completely, Orwellian thing to do, because they will track every single transaction that people do. They will know exactly how much money you have, who you interact with, who you send it to, from who you receive it to, for what purposes. And if they don't like something you say on social media or something you do, they can just cut you off from this financial system, right? So Bitcoin will be that safe haven, and a lot of people will actually use it for that purpose. You will not, and actually right now, you do not need an offshore bank account anymore because you already have Bitcoin. I think Barack Obama said it the best. And now everybody walks with a Swiss bank account in their pocket. That was the best advertisement for Bitcoin, I think. So, and then of course, number seven here, I don't usually talk about other things other than Bitcoin, but I want to repeat that too, because the new waves of users who come and ask questions about it, they inevitably ask about other things. So I just want to repeat that and not to expand about it too much, but focus on Bitcoin and ignore everything else. Focus on Bitcoin. Bitcoin will have all the tech in due time. You don't have to chase the world computers and all kinds of nonsense, because whatever use case is actually really, really needed in the world. And I'm not talking about problems that people invent so that they can provide solutions to them. I actually talk about real problems that people have. Those problems will be solved by Bitcoin. But the nature of Bitcoin is that it's quite slow to develop, right? It's slow because, well, it's a $1 trillion financial network. You better be slow and steady with it. You don't want to break it. So it can take years and years to develop something, but there are teams around the world, trust me, I know them, that work on all kinds of mind-blowing technologies that, they deliver products that people don't even know they need because they are so forward-thinking, but they ship these products so early that people don't even realize what those products mean. And they are already there, and just give it a few more years and there will be so much stuff out there based purely on Bitcoin that you will not even know sometimes that you actually use Bitcoin. I'm not talking about scaling technologies, for Bitcoin that allow for microtransactions and unlimited transfers, but all kinds of things that use Bitcoin as its underlying technology. And that includes smart contracts and messaging services and the new ways that people can make money off of their content all kinds of things. So cross-border payments is just the very first step here. I mean, of course, Bitcoin is money and you can send money. That's one of its properties to somewhere else. But there will be so many things. I think the whole internet infrastructure will be redefined by Bitcoin and built upon Bitcoin eventually. Bitcoin has the best monetary policy. It's even better than gold, and that's why people will be using it for all kinds of technologies out there. So, but when we brush aside all these technologies, I think the real actual invention is money. Money is the real invention, or rather reinvention here. That's the first thing that had to be fixed in the first place. That's everything else is just buzzwords. Forget about blockchains, altcoins, ICOs, NFTs, whatever else in the pipeline, forget about that. The biggest thing that had to be fixed at this day and age is money itself. And it was fixed thanks to Bitcoin. Now we have the Bitcoin standard, and it's only going to grow. And it will replace the gold standard. Gold standard is pretty much non-existent right now. I don't think, maybe some countries will try to reinstate it, but we know what happens to, you know, to those who try to reinstate the gold standard. You know, they disappear from the face of the earth. But then there's Bitcoin that is already here. It already works. And yes, the owner came and disappeared from the face of the earth as well. But we never know, and we may never know who the owner, or who rather the inventor of Bitcoin, Satoshi Nakamoto, is and was, right? So it's pretty much a gift from him to humanity, and we are really happy to accept it and use it for building the future that we want to live in. So that's it for today. These were the seven things that you need to know before getting into Bitcoin. And I hope you liked it. And right now I will use the test feature of this Telegram voice chat. And there's just a couple of participants here right now. First of all, I would like to ask if anybody wants to say something here, any comment, any question or anything. I believe on the listener side, there is a button called raise hand. So you can raise the hand and I can allow you to speak. So you can speak freely. If not, then we will we'll call it a day. So let me know if you want to speak. There's Andrew here. And let's see if anybody else joins. At the same time, I will be thinking which day and time is actually best for such things when there's more people online and there's more participation. I really want to make this thing a little more more interactive. But at the same time, I don't want to line up guests, you know, like everybody else does. A little spontaneous, maybe. So we'll see. It's an experiment. So I really like it so far. It looks great. It looks great on the screen, and it feels great as well to be live and not pre-recording this thing. So I'll give it a minute and see if anybody raises a hand. Okay, well, I saw a few people were there during the during the podcast, some jumped off. There's someone here as well. We'll leave it as is right now. And it was interesting to see how people jump in and jump out of this conversation. I will keep experimenting with it. And for now, I think it went well. I will process this recording and I will post it as a regular episode on all the platforms. I just upload it to anchor.fm and then Anchor distributes it anywhere. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the other platforms where podcasts are hosted. And that said, until next time.